Well, once again, good morning and welcome as we celebrate this great solemnity of the body and the blood of the Lord, the Eucharist, which the Church calls the source and the summit, the source and the summit of the Church's life and ministry. It's everything. It's everything for us. The greatest gift that God has given to us, that we at this altar, in this church, and together as a community might share the divinity of Jesus. To become, as St. Augustine said so beautifully, we become what we receive. Think about that. We become what we receive. And when we go out that front door after Mass, and note how short the time is between receiving the Eucharist and leaving the church. And the church has done that, of course, with a mind to the mission that we have received, the mission to continue the ministry and the presence of Jesus in you. And thus the importance of this solemnity, and to celebrate it, and to give thanks for it. And the solemnity brings to a conclusion a series of solemnities that we celebrate after Easter: the Passion of the Lord, the Resurrection, the Ascension, Pentecost, the Trinity, the Body and Blood of the Lord. And from this, we move into what is so commonly called ordinary time. And you think, well, that doesn't really sound so great. But it comes from, of course, everything in the church comes from the Latin. Ordo means number. It's our numbered Sundays. 11 is where we hop back in. And for a few months, we will be in ordinary time until we get to, of course, Advent and so on. The feast of Corpus Christi, as we used to call it, some of you may remember, we didn't celebrate it on Sunday. What day did we celebrate it? Anybody know? Thursday. It was like the Ascension. Remember Ascension Thursday? Well, that's kind of gone by the wayside. But we celebrated it on Sunday, which I think ultimately was a good idea because it gives us the opportunity to come together and to learn what the Ascension mystery means. And it doesn't mean that Jesus left us. And that's why, in a sense, we celebrate this. Jesus never, I will never leave you. I am with you always through the Eucharist, through each other, and so on. But the Feast of Corpus Christi developed at a time of widespread doubt, concerning the real presence of Jesus and what that means, the real presence. The Catechism says this: Jesus Christ is present in many ways in his church, in his word, in the church's prayer, in the poor, the sick, and imprisoned, in the sacraments, of which he is the author, in the sacrifice of the Mass, and somehow even in the person of the minister. But he is present most especially in the Eucharistic species, present most especially in the Eucharistic species. And the Catechism goes on to say that the mode of Christ's presence under the Eucharistic species is unique. The whole Christ truly, really, and substantially contained. This presence we call real. Unique to us as Catholics, though shared by the Orthodox, who have sacraments that we consider valid as well. But the Eucharist, in a sense, is what defines us as Catholics. Not just a symbol, not just a kind of theory, not a metaphor, but real. And that's what our readings point out to us today. St. Paul, in that second reading, puts it this way. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? And the bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? It's disappointing to me that the word participation is used there, and why it was translated from the Greek into that word. For us, it's kind of, you know, participation. The way we use that, well, we participate in sports, and we participate in school and work and so on and so forth. But the Greek word is koinonia. And if you know any Greek words, maybe that is one, koinonia. It means communion. Is it not communion in the body of Christ? Is it not communion in the blood of Christ? That word so much richer. The fact that we call the Eucharist Holy Communion. Holy Communion. Central to this feast. And Jesus gives us the most and most specific instruction on the Eucharist in his 6th chapter of John's Gospel, our Gospel today, which is just a small part of something much longer. Up to the 6th chapter in John's Gospel, Jesus teaches many things about himself, about his relationship with the Father, about living in conformity with God's laws and teachings. But Jesus' teaching takes what I would call a radical turn in the 6th chapter. And it's very, very explicit. He wants to live in his followers. He wants his followers to live in him. Communion. And thus, saying very explicitly, I am the living bread. When the words I am are found in the Gospel of John, ego eimi in the Greek, I am, it's a reference to the God in the Old Testament. Yahweh, I am who I am. Jesus repeats that in the Greek, indicating his own divinity and communion with the Father. I am the living bread. come down from heaven. The manna. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. And how did people react when they heard these words? This is too much for us. Many left, it says in the gospel. It was too much for them, and many departed. And Jesus asked his apostles, will you too depart? And the response, so beautiful, where shall we go? Where could we go? You are the words of everlasting life. Where could we go? But the followers of Jesus, hearing these words, probably kind of looking at each other, well, you can imagine, Jesus is saying exactly what we are hearing here. Unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you will not have life in you. They understood that. And in fact, the fact that they were so shocked and left indicates they understand and understood the words completely. If they thought it was just a symbol or a metaphor or something, well, they would just say, you know, a little philosophy or whatever. No, they understood it exactly the way Jesus meant it, physically, in the bread, in the cup. And the passage continues in the sixth chapter through giving a full catechesis of what will become central to the church. And Jesus doesn't back down. He sees people wandering away, his own apostles probably looking at each other. He doesn't back down a bit. Oh, you know, don't worry. It's, you know, kind of this or that. No. He repeats it, and even stronger. Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you will not have life within you. For my flesh is true food, and my blood, true drink. Even today, many Catholics have difficulty with that and understanding it. And none of our other Protestant brothers and sisters, of course, from Luther on, simply could not accept those words either. They will have a communion service. Many Protestant churches do. It might be kind of rare. Some are more frequent. The Episcopalians, the Lutherans, have a kind of similar mass to us, but with a different understanding. To us, it's very clear. It's very clear. It couldn't be clearer, really. That first reading from Deuteronomy reminds us of the Israelites in the desert, the journey out of Egypt to the promised land. 40 years, we're told. You could walk from Egypt to the Holy Land in a week or two, not 40 years. But it indicated the stubbornness and all sorts of other things. Those 40 years, it took that long for that conversion to take place. And part of that was the manna come down from heaven. Remember, the Old Testament foreshadows everything we find in the New Testament and brings it to completion and fulfillment. The manna was eaten and people died. The Eucharist is eaten and we live forever. You know, at Mass, in our Eucharistic prayer, when the new version of these prayers came out a few years back, people laughed at and kind of made fun of the word dewfall, the dewfall. Send your spirit upon these gifts like the dewfall that it may become. Thinking, oh, kind of a nice little poetic word. Yeah, it is, but that was not the point of the church to give us poetry. It was an indication of the manna in the desert come down from heaven. When you look at the actual Old Testament passage, it was like dewfall. So as we get into the consecration of the Mass, we're reminded of the gift of manna, which God continues to give us, but much greater, much greater. St. Augustine, once again, says, we become what we receive. And what do we receive? The body and the blood of Christ. We share the divinity. Ever thought about that? Sharing in something like divinity? You know, when the priest or the deacon pours the water into the wine and the chalice, he says a little prayer, may we come to share in the divinity of Christ, who humbled himself to share our humanity. The body and the blood of Christ become what we receive. Present in the church, present on this altar, and present in each one of us.